I did not put a Heidelberg Catechism reference in the bulletin, but as the sermon this evening is tied so tightly to the 47th Lord's Day, I'd like to look at that first. I understand that your tradition here, as at Bethel, is that I will read the question and we as a congregation respond by reading the answer. Lord's Day 47 is found on page 60. We are currently then looking at the Lord's Prayer, the petitions thereof. Lord's Day 47, question. What does the first request mean? Answer. Hallowed be thy name means help us to really know you, to bless, worship, and praise you for all your works, for all that shines forth from them, your mighty power, wisdom, kindness, justice, mercy, and truth. And it means, help us to do it all our living, what we think, say, and do, so that your name will never be blasphemed because of us, but always honored and praised. This we do confess. Our scripture text then will be Revelation chapter 4. Revelation 4. This is really entering into the second section of the book of Revelation, chapters 1 through 3. We're looking at the directions to the various churches. Now we begin to see the visions of history from beginning to end. In particular, in chapter 4, we will look at the worship of God as it is in heaven. Revelation chapter 4. After this, I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. At once I was in the Spirit. And there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian. A rainbow resembling an emerald encircled the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones. And seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings, and peals of thunder. Before the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. Also before the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. In the center around the throne were four living creatures. And they were covered with eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third had a face like a man. The fourth was like a flying eagle. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under his wings, day and night. They never stopped saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Whenever the living creatures gave glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sit on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, you are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. This ends the reading of God's holy and inspired word. Let's ask his blessing on the preaching thereof. Our great and glorious omnipotent God, we pray that you would be with us now during this hour, during this time of the preaching of your word. Lord, you have given us your perfect word, which is infallible. We pray that you would be with us now during the preaching of that word. May your word be proclaimed from this your pulpit powerfully. Be with your people in a very special way, applying, comforting, and even convicting these your children. Bless now and keep. In Christ Jesus' name alone we pray. Amen. Holy, holy, Holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. All this in the backdrop of Lord's Day 47. What does it mean when we say, Hallowed be thy name? We all know the Lord's Prayer. We recite it frequently right here in this congregation. In fact, I've had the blessing of reciting the Lord's Prayer with you. What does it mean? Well, let me speak to the children a little bit then. Imagine this scenario. You're playing in the neighborhood with your friends. One of them says to you, My dad is in the army. He's been deployed to Afghanistan, and I've never seen him. He's been gone my whole life. I've never seen him. But my daddy loves me, you may say. My daddy loves me, and I know that because he writes to me every week. I get letters from him. He sends me gifts. He sends me pictures. He tells me all about what's going on in his life, his trials, his joys, his pleasures. He asks me what's going on in my life. This child is all excited about his daddy, and how much his daddy loves him, and how much he loves his daddy. So you say, well, what does your daddy look like? I don't know. What does your daddy say in those letters? I don't know. Well, this is kind of strange. How come you say that your dad sends you all these letters, he sends you these pictures of himself, and yet you don't know what he looks like? You don't know what he says? Well, this child answers, I never actually open them. I get the letters. My mother tells me what they're all about. My mother tells me that he loves me. And I get the letters and I set them up on my shelf. I never open them, but they're there. I really can't tell you anything about my dad except that he sends me stuff. Well, what does that say about the love that the child has for his dad? If this child never does quite get around to opening up the letters, never does take the time to look at the pictures, to study it, to scrutinize it, to see if my blue eyes came from him or from mom, you would think that a child that loved his daddy and wanted to see him in the worst way would just spend time over the pictures and over the words and the letters and even the way that it's written. But you'd have to respond, I don't see the evidence that you love your father if you don't open the letters that he sends you. Now, what does that have to do with hallowed be thy name? Well, it's just precisely this. If we say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and someone were to ask us, Do you love the Father? Of course, we would all say, Absolutely, I love the Father. Well, what can you tell me about the Father? Well, I hope that we would not be left as this child saying, I don't know, I've never looked. And yet, have we spent the time to really focus and hone in on who the Father is? How can we say, Hallowed be thy name, if we don't take the time to study what he has told us, how he has described himself, who he is, what his attributes are, we cannot properly hallow him until we look at how he has revealed himself. So our first point then this evening is, who is God? We pray over and over, hallowed be thy name. Our Lord's Day says that the first thing that this means to us is that we want our Heavenly Father to help us to really know Him. Help us to really know who He is. Who is God? Well, first of all, we know that God is incomprehensible. By that I mean we cannot fully know Him. We cannot wholly know Him. We cannot know the extent of His being. Psalm 145 reminds us that His greatness is unsearchable. We cannot fathom the depths of this Father that we pray, hallowed be Thy name. We cannot search out all that He is because He is infinite. He is beyond description. He is beyond our limited faculties. And yet, though He is incomprehensible, He is knowable. We can know who He is by how He has described Himself. From the introduction, by the letters He has given unto us, by the revelation that He has shown us, we can know who God is. We can know who He is perfectly because He reveals Himself perfectly, but not comprehensively. So we can know God. God is knowable because He has revealed Himself to us. He's revealed Himself to us in the creation, in the sun that shines, in the stars in the sky, the moon that reflects the sun. The heavens declare the glory of God. Psalm 19 reminds us. The heavens declare. Everything about us declares the glory of God. He reveals Himself to us in the Scriptures. Right here, Revelation chapter 4, we have at least seven descriptions of who God is. A picture of who this God that we hallow is, that we desire, that we petition God to hallow His name. He is indeed the King. We see this picture of Him, of our God and Savior, sitting on a throne. He is a King. He is a ruler. In fact, He is the greatest of rulers, as later on you see the 24 thrones surrounding the one throne of our God. He is King. We see that from this text that our Father is omnipotent. Children, that means He has all power. In verse 8, we're reminded that the Lord God Almighty of all power. We see in verse 5 the flashes of lightning, the rumblings of thunder. We see a powerful God, a God with all power that is not limited by anything outside of Himself. If He wants the lightning to flash, He will make the lightning flash. If He wants the thunder to boom, He will make the thunder to boom. He is a God of all power. We see from this text also, Revelation 14, that He is holy, thrice over holy. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Pure. He is eternal, who was and who is to come. This God that we pray, hallowed be Thy name, was there from before the foundations of the earth were ever formed. From eternity to eternity. From after this world is destroyed and the new heavens and the new earth, and we for eternity beyond, He is. Remember what He called Himself at the burning bush. I am, not I was, although that's included, but I am eternal. He's a God who is to be worshipped. One who is to be worshipped. We see the 24 elders and the four beasts, the living creatures, worshiping Him day and night for all of eternity. He is a God who is to be worshipped, reverenced, hallowed. We see a God in this text, in these 11 verses, who is the creator of everything. For You are the one who created all things. And not only the one who created all things, but the one who sustains all things. Number 7, God is the sustainer of all things. Not only did You create all things, but by but in you they have their being. That's just from Revelation 4. God is knowable. He shows these seven descriptions of who He is, who this God that we worship is, this God who rules, has all power, is holy, eternal, worthy to be worshipped, the Creator and the Sustainer of all things. This is a picture of our God. Of course, we have the rest of Scripture, the entire revelation, infallible word of our God that fleshes out even more who this God is that we serve. He is an omnipresent God, a God who is everywhere. Psalm 139 reminds us that if I ascend into the heavens, you're there. If I go down into hell, you're there. If I make my bed in the oceans, Lord, you are even there. You are everywhere. We have a God who holds us everywhere. An omniscient God, a God who knows all things. Job asked the rhetorical question, can anyone teach God knowledge? Of course not. Job 21, by the way. Of course not. Because God is the beginning of all knowledge. There is no knowledge without Him. He is truth and the giver of truth. He knows all things. What a gift. Just to pause and consider that for a moment. This eternal, omnipotent, omniscient, all-powerful God, that we cannot even comprehend nor fathom who He is and how He extends, condescended to give us a book. To give us a book, a compilation of 66, that gives us a sufficient picture of who God is. He says to us, fallen, weak creatures, let me describe to you who I am. Let me describe to you in enough detail who I am that you will see that I am your only way to eternal life. He didn't have to do that. He didn't have to write down all of these pages through the inspiration to His holy prophets from generation to generation, spanning thousands of years, so that we could sit here in Hudsonville and have this written revelation of God in front of us in our own tongue. Doesn't that speak something of this God that we worship? Doesn't that give us one more incentive even there to say, God, hallowed be Your name. Your name is holy. Your name is so far above that You would even give us Your word written down for us. We have a beautiful God in so many ways, in every way. But He's revealed Himself in creation. He's revealed Himself in His Word. And even more particularly, we can note that He even reveals Himself in His names. Each of us has a name, right? For the most part, it doesn't say much about who we are. Our last name might say something of who we are. First name, very, very limited. But God names Himself. He describes Himself in His names. Herman Bavinck said that God is what He calls Himself, and He calls Himself what He is. There are no misnomers in the names of God. We might have a person named Pleasant who is anything but pleasant, but we have a God who names Himself exactly what He is. Just consider a few of these, taken from throughout Scripture, and there are so many times that He describes Himself in His name, but think of a few. Start with a couple common ones. Jehovah. Not just a name. The One who is our covenant-keeping God. He reveals himself as Adonai, Lord, Master, Ruler. He reveals himself as El Shaddai, God Almighty, the Sufficient One. That tells us something of who he is, doesn't it? Hallowed be thy name. You are the Sufficient One. You are everything that I need. Jehovah Shalom. Jehovah is peace. That tells us something about who God is. He is peace. Jehovah Tzidkenu. Jehovah, our righteousness. He is our righteousness. We have no righteousness in ourselves, but we have righteousness in God. Jehovah, I wish I hadn't written this one down. Jehovah Mekadeshekim. Don't try writing that one down. But Jehovah who sanctifies you. It's a beautiful one, even if it's tough to pronounce. Jehovah who sanctifies you. You ever say, how filthy I am. Oh, wretched man that I am, with Paul, to use his words. This God to whom we worship and pray is the Jehovah that sanctifies you, that makes you clean, that grows you day by day. Hallowed be thy name. Help us to really know you. I'd like you to consider that. Throughout this week, some of the implications of what this really means. Help us to really know you. I would challenge you to think upon who God is. Of course, he is a God who is jealous of his name. But he is a God who reveals himself in so many ways. We don't want to be the child that doesn't know who this God is. I've run into too many people, and I'm sure you have too, that will say something along the lines of, well, Christians, those who worship the Great White Spirit, some of the more liberals will say, the Muslims, throw in any other religion you want. We all really worship the same God, right? You know, we might call him something different, but we all really worship the same God, right? Well, Christian, if that's what you say, then you are not praying, hallowed be your name, because you are not praying that I would know who you are, because we have a God who reveals himself particularly, perfectly, as to who he is. So I would challenge you to focus your thoughts on that. Who is this God that I worship? What are his attributes? That's a beautiful study. To look at the attributes of God. Who is he? How does he reveal himself? What does that tell me about how I may approach him? But then to move on to the second point, not to stay there too long, let's go to what does it mean to hallow? Hallowed be thy name. First we looked at who God is, but what does it really mean? Our catechism speaks of blessing, worshiping, praising you for all your works, for all that shines forth from them, your almighty power, wisdom, kindness, justice, mercy, and truth. But to hallow, first of all, speaks of making holy. May your name be holy, we are asking. It's pertaining to a religious awe. It's pertaining to keeping it sacred, sanctified, something that is worthy of veneration, is worthy to worship you and your name, to keep it holy. It's indicative of divine perfection, something that separates the creature from the Creator. Lord, let us not take you for granted, because you are the Creator and we are merely the creature. Let us hallow your name, and may your name be hallowed throughout all of creation, because you are very distinct and different from us. You are the one who made us. Let's not blur the lines of creator-creature. Lord, keep your name separate and revered and in awe. Hosea 11 reminds us, "For I am not God, excuse me, for I am God and not man, the Holy One in the midst of thee, and I will not come in wrath. I am God and not man." That's one more way that he reveals himself, that distinction. I am God, I'm not you. When we say, "Hallowed be thy name," we're putting that dividing line in there and saying, "Lord, remind me day by day that you are God and I am man. I must rely on you. You do not rely on me." Keep that division clear in my mind. Lord, hallowed be your name. In Revelation 4, we see a lot of hallowing, a lot of keeping holy, a lot of reverencing and revering and venerating this King of Kings. We have a number of pictures. I just want to focus on a couple of them. We have 24 thrones surrounding the throne with 24 elders. I'm convinced that these 24 thrones and these 24 elders that are sitting on the throne are a picture of that church universal. From Adam to the last saint on earth, and each one, each member therein. We have a picture of the 12 tribes of Israel and the 12 apostles being pictured in these 24 elders as inclusive of the entirety of the church. You might think of, just don't want to make it too simple, but you think of synod. You have a few delegates, two delegates from each church, and yet they speak for the entirety of them. That's what we have a picture of here. These 24 elders being a picture of the entirety of the church from beginning to end. That must then include us, right? The entire church here. And what are they doing? They're worshiping. By the way, we might look at Revelation 21 also to look at this 24 elders, this picture of the church. Also, she had a great and high wall with 12 gates and 12 angels at the gates, and the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Now the wall of that city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. So we're not just pulling these numbers out of thin air, but we have actually precedent throughout Scripture, and particularly in Revelation 21, for that being the entirety of the church. So what are they doing? How are they hallowing the name of God? They're bowing down. They're worshiping day and night. They're throwing down their crowns at the feet of the King, saying, "You are worthy, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things. By your will they were created and have their being." So if we are a part of these 24 elders encircling the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, what does that say about our worship? That we bow down before the King. We throw down our crowns at His feet and say, "It is all of you, for you alone are worthy. You alone are the one that has redeemed us. You alone are the reason that we have life." We give our all. It's only because of His will that we live and breathe and have our being. And so if in heaven, remember this petition, "Hallowed be thy name on earth as it is in heaven." If in heaven we have this picture of the church surrounding the King of Kings, throwing down our crowns at His feet and saying, "You are worthy." That's what we are to be doing here in Hudsonville, in Jenison, and wherever God's church meets. We're to be throwing down our crowns. Every gift that we have, Lord, is from you and for you. We hold none of it back. He gives us everything that we need. It is only because of you that we are able to live and eat and breathe this air and maybe even put a little bit in a 401k. It is all from you, and so we give everything that we have. Our very being must be focused on glorifying and honoring and worshiping and reverencing you. Is that what we do? Because that's what the church does in heaven. And when we pray, "Hallowed be thy name on earth as it is in heaven," we're saying, here on earth, while I'm a sinful mortal man, make me more and more like that church glorified. Worshiping you more and more perfectly like that church glorified. And we know that we fail. But that does not mean that we quit trying. Because we pray over and over, "Hallowed be your name on earth as it is in heaven." And so we must be trying more and more to focus our worship, both corporate, I would say especially corporate, but also personal and the entirety of our life, where everything we have is focused on worshiping Him properly, purely, with our whole heart, with our whole mind, applying that word to our hearts and our minds and our lives, going out into the world and spending every nail that we hammer in our carpenter's job or number that we add up as an accountant or whatever the Lord has placed you in, saying consciously, "You are worthy, Lord, and I will do this to your honor and to your glory. I will do it to the best of my ability so that your name will be glorified, your name will be exalted in all things. I want none of it. You have given me so much. May everything that I have be used for you and for your glory." We don't think about all these applications when we say in about 2 minutes' time, the Lord's Prayer, that first line goes through, "Hallowed be your name on earth as it is in heaven." But it has lifelong consequences, life-changing consequences. We see the four beasts, God's holy warriors. I'm not going to take the time to go into this too much, but His holy warriors, we see pictures of this as His cherubim. If you want to look at it more, look at Ezekiel 1, Isaiah 6 throughout this week. Set there, Ezekiel 1, Isaiah 6. I know I said that quickly if you're writing. Sent there to keep defilement from God's presence. You might remember outside the garden, to keep out Adam and Eve. It's kind of the same picture. We have the guardians of this picture of the guardians of God's honor surrounding them, keeping out anything that might possibly be defiled, because God's honor and reverence must be kept pure. That also is our calling. To keep out any impurity from the worship of God. We see pictures of these cherubim, not only in Garden of Eden, the Ark of the Covenant, Temple, the Holy Chamber. All of creation were reminded by this. God is a jealous God. In all of creation, man and beast, is called to hallow and reverence the name of God. But they don't, you say. I work on the job site. I personally worked in construction for a lot of years. I know what you're saying. God's name is not hallowed in this world far too often. In fact, His name is taken in vain time and time again. And I know there are those people that if you tell them that you're offended by that, will only double down, go even further. That does not change what is called for and what is expected from you and I and every living thing. That we hallow His name. That our lives be dedicated to that. How are they hallowing it? Day and night, we see this picture. day and night is this worship of God. It's not just on Sunday morning, and for those conservatives, Sunday night at 5:20 also. Maybe you may throw in a Wednesday. No, day and night. This church universal is worshiping and hallowing the name of God, throwing their crowns at His feet, and they're doing it freely. Doing it freely, not because they're called to, but freely throwing down everything for Him. Something else that we can learn. I alluded to it this morning, and I'm not saying this in condemnation to anyone without including myself, but too often it becomes a trial, a little bit of work to actually get up and go to church, or to take that time at the dinner table. Oh, yeah, I guess we have to read the Bible. We ought to. We should. It's a good thing. Okay, let's do it. No, they do it freely. They do it because they enjoyed it. They do it because they love it. And that in heaven is the way God's name is hallowed. How He is hallowed. How He is revered. Freely. Joyfully. We say, hallowed be Your name on earth as it is in heaven. That's another thing we're saying. Lord, give me a joyful heart when I worship You. You are sanctifying me. You're growing me. You're bringing me into Your house. But give me a joyful heart. Cause me to love You. Let me not find this to be a trial, but cause me to love it. This brings us then into our third and shorter point. What are we asking in this first petition? Precisely what is it that we're asking? First of all, let's not lose sight of the fact that it is a petition. It's not a statement. It's a petition. It's saying, God, You are the only one that can do this. Do this for me. Work in me a right heart. Cause Your name to be exalted. Please. Please. For the sake of Your honor. For the sake of Your glory. This is a petition. We're asking God to sanctify His name. We're petitioning God to sanctify us so as to better serve Him. But also we're asking that God be hallowed, honored, glorified in His church. That our worship reverence Him. That our education reverence Him. When we send our young people, covenant youth, to school to be educated, or we take that responsibility at home to educate, Lord, in that schooling, may Your name be hallowed. May they learn from a young age in every sphere of their life that You are the King of Kings and You are worthy to be worshipped. In our fellowship, this can be a tough one. In our fellowship, to hallow Your name. It can be tough in so many parts, so many ways. Sometimes our buddies and our friends are not inclined to hallow God's name. We're inclined to yuck it up and enjoy our time. Now, it's good to enjoy fellowship with one another. But in that fellowship with friends, Your name must be hallowed, Lord. Don't let me digress into not only vulgarity, but don't let me digress into self-centeredness, but keep me always God-centered, Christ-centered. Let all of my fellowship with my fellow man glorify You. Magnify You. Hallow Your name in missions. Lord, may Your name be glorified in Costa Rica. May Your name be glorified in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. May your name be glorified in X, Y, Z mission work. May Cornerstone be used powerfully to magnify your name in these mission works. Use us in this way. Hallow your name in our obedience, for He is worthy. He's told us. We know you are worthy. This first petition, we're asking that His name be hallowed in creation, for you created all things. We're asking that His name be hallowed in government. Ooh, so often it's not. But do we pray for the kings and princes? Do we pray for the president and the senator? Do we pray for the local mayor? I don't know if Hudsonville has one. The trustees? Do we pray for our government officials that God's name would be hallowed? There are faithful lawmakers, and there are many unfaithful, but we pray for all of them. Lord, may your name be hallowed in the chambers of the United States of America and in Lansing, Michigan, our schools and our sciences. We're asking in this first petition that His name be hallowed in His justice, in our infirmities, in our weakness, recognizing that this too is how God is preparing us. Received a message from a friend recently. My cancer treatment was postponed for 2 weeks because of my brain tumor. My heart just dropped. The last line, "That will be done." We each go through trials and tribulations. The Lord does this to His children. But when we ask this petition, we're saying, Lord, even that cancer that's in my body, may that glorify You. May that be used to sanctify me, to be an encouragement to a brother, or however You want to use that. May even that be used to glorify You. May even Your judgment of the ungodly, as much as that may hurt us, be used to glorify and magnify Your name. And the blessing to us, may Your name be magnified and glorified and hallowed and revered in saving poor, wretched, sinful me, in blessing and glorifying His name, exalting His name by taking those of us who are worthy of nothing but condemnation, making us sons and daughters. Lord, in this, may Your name be glorified. And what more reason do we need than to say and pray wholeheartedly and with joy in our hearts, hallowed be Thy name on earth as it is in heaven. Let's see the hypothetical story that I began with of the child that was convinced that he loved his father, whom he had never seen and never took the time to read how his father had described himself, shows as indicative of a child that does not really love his father. When we as God's people pray, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name." Let's think upon that and say, who is this God that we are worshiping? Why do we want His name to be hallowed? Because that's a beautiful thing. And teach me more and more Sanctify me more and more until that final day when I will be brought in among those 24 elders, throwing down my crowns at His feet, saying, worthy are You, because You have saved me. You are worthy of all glory and honor and power. Praise be to God. Amen. Our gracious and glorious and great and powerful, omnipotent, loving, merciful Heavenly Father, we come to You praying that You would apply these truths to our hearts